Good evening, listeners, and welcome to today's episode. We're diving into an evocative story today, the escalating land invasion along the P445, which is the extension of Ballito Drive. Now, this issue has been brewing for some time and it's reaching a headway. Since 2021, there's been an ongoing land invasion along the border of Sharker's Head and Caledon Estate. And homeowners in the area tell us that this invasion has been fueled by Ballito's rapid economic growth. But what started as a trickle has now turned into a flood of illegal settlements, bringing it with it a host of challenges, not just for the municipality, but for everyone living around the nearby area, as well as a lot of people in the community of Sharker's Head, which is Ward 4. Now, illegal land invasions like these have far-reaching consequences. They throw a wrench into municipal planning, disrupt the social fabric of neighboring communities, and wreak havoc on the environment. When formal settlements spring up without basic services like electricity or water, the illegal dwellers often tap into existing infrastructure at the expense of the municipality and the rate-paying residents. And that's just the beginning. Without waste collection or sewage systems, pollution and sanitation issues quickly spiral out of control. But perhaps one of the most troubling aspects of this situation is the way it's been exploited by criminal syndicates. These organized groups are taking advantage of people who are desperate for housing, selling plots of land that don't belong to them, and setting up illegal electricity connections. They're not just profiteering off the chaos, they're actually fueling it. And in recent days, a notice has been served on the informal settlers by the sheriff of the court, and they have been advised that they will be relocating and an alternative location has been provided. I spoke to some residents of Sharker's Head who are also feeling the effects of this land occupation. And I've got online Tulani Mtetwa. He's one of the community leaders who resides in Sharker's Head. And I know a lot of the people did want to speak to me on condition of anonymity, fearing retaliation. But you know what? The concerns are that they've raised are the same concerns a lot of the homeowners have raised at a recent meeting. Hi, Tulani. Hi. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon to the listeners.
Yeah. I know that the land that was occupied since 2021, it's escalated now, and it's actually, it's so dense at the moment. And it's caused a lot of challenges for the communities nearby. What was that land earmarked for in terms of development? Do you know?
Yes, I do have an idea because I used to be secretary of the ward committee in Ward 4, Chatterford.
Yes.
And that piece of land was identified for the high school, as well as it was also a part of it was identified for a possible clinic.
Sure.
There were other amenities which were discussed. However, we ended up agreeing that the primary issue will be the schools as well as the clinic.
Sure. And that's
because it's such a big piece of land.
Yeah. And that's such a critical development for the area, because right now there is no public high school in our area. Is that? Yeah. And what is the repercussion of that? If there are no public high schools, the children are in that area, in that ward, are having to travel and catch a bus to the underlying areas. And what is that causing?
You know, Penny, it's very critical.
Yeah.
The only primary school that we are having, Arepada Yaj, it was decades ago, and it could cater for just a minority of the Indian community which resided in the area at that area part of the years.
Yeah.
So currently a huge number of people who are living in Chavez. It's overcrowded. And the primary school, I want to believe, if I'm not mistaken, last year we were told that some classrooms, they are overcrowded into, I don't know, 70 children in a classroom that could cater for 20 children, you know?
Yeah.
The only primary school that we have is overcrowded.
Yeah.
There is no high school. The nearest high school, it's Chagas Crawley,
Yeah.
But Shalastor is a paid school as well. I think we pay around 1,000 something rand.
Yeah.
And we have to pay about 700 rand for the transportation of the children. And the other high schools are even further than that.
Yeah, and they've said, you know, a lot of the residents said because of the unaffordability, a lot of the kids are actually dropping out of school. Tulani, I also want to just bring up the basic services issue. A lot of the residents have also saying that the illegal dwellers often tap into the existing infrastructure at the expense of the municipalities. And obviously with no services, you know, there's no waste collection, sewage systems. You know, this is also impacting it. Are you feeling it with water and electricity? Are you observing this as well?
Pretty much, we are feeling it, Penny.
Yeah.
All these illegal settlements that are mushrooming everywhere, they just illegally connect to the existing, what they call electricity the transformers, and they pass now and then. We just have our own technical load shedding of Shalastor that constantly kicks in each and every day, you know, due to these illegal connections based on the people are just building houses anywhere and then they connect.
Yeah, and what is the crime levels? They said, I know the local CPF and a lot of the homeowner associations have said that there has been an escalation of crime in the recent, you know, in the last year or so. Is that also felt in the, you know, in the Ward 4 community?
It's worse, it's even worse. The high level of crime in Shazen, I think even the so-called CPF and everyone is now fed up.
Yeah. Are you working with the CPF and the other communities? Because
we are in Thornhill and it's just a small part of Shalastor.
Yeah.
In more Eskete next to R102. We have started our own thing there and we sometimes just being as a neighborhood or street committee. So we only care for ourselves now. You cannot patrol the whole area, you know.
Yeah.
But the crime is worse, and it's due to illegal caverns as well. It's all over. Noise is all over.
So it's like the criminal element has actually moved in. And there's also been reports of a lot of muggings from domestic workers, you know, walking along that bridge. They are saying that they have been targeted as well from this criminal element that has obviously descended into the area as well.
If I may just tell you, in this year, I think I got 2 break-ins in my own house.
Sure. And also gunshots. Apparently, there's about 4 illegal shebeens that are operating on that area as well.
There are many. You can't count them.
Yeah.
There are many illegal shebeens.
I would just like to come in and ask you, Tulani, because you're on the ground. I gather from what you've been discussing with Penny that you are quite pro the removal of these illegal dwellings and the illegal settlement. I want to ask this question. Apparently, the first step in the removal of this development or settlement has been taken. Letters have been served. The ward councillor that was invited to come on the show and explain what is going to take place, he suddenly got very nervous and said that he had been put under some kind of gag order from the municipality for fear of repercussions, for fear of riots and violence, just by talking about the matter. So here is my question to you. When the sheriff of the court arrives with the red ants and starts to evict people, which is imminent, is there not going to be an enormous amount of violence?
Look, I want to believe those people who are there. First of all, you know, it's a pity that leaders such as the ward councillor would be fearing such repercussion or intimidation or whatever. Because I want to tell you, I've been staying in Shalastor for about 3 decades now, and I know that politicians, they use this now for people to, they point people to use the vacant spaces so that those people could be ready when the next development comes, they can have benefits to their housing, the development that will come to place. And that is the lie that has been sold to people. People are promised housing that are going to be built. And that is where the councillors get their votes from.
Yeah.
But be as it may, I'm not making any assumptions here. I'm saying, those people, I think they are more organized in terms of they are under an organization which has got legal representatives, and I don't foresee them retaliating in that manner. I want to believe for how they are organized, they would always take matters to court.
Okay, so you don't foresee civic unrest, but you are in favour of them being relocated to a settlement close by.
Look, people must be provided alternative. I mean, that's what the law says. If they are removed from one piece of land, they must be provided with an alternative.
Yeah, I believe the piece of land that they've been provided or been offered is way out in near. On the other side of Sharker's Kraal, a long way away from the local market here, that they seem to be quite plugged into. Yeah. Very enterprising community, that one.
Yeah.
I've been there on several occasions. I've never had any issues with either feeling insecure or feeling that they're disorganized in any way. I do sympathize with them. I do sympathize with you. I think the problem lies, and I'm just an observer, but I've been in this community also for over 20 years. I do think the problem lies with the organization in terms of leadership and ward councillors in particular that have allowed the situation to get to this point. It shouldn't have. It has now. Is there not a law that says once a structure has been erected and has been left unmolested for a period of time, they then have right of usufruct, if you like, of that piece of land?
There is a piece of legislation which says like that. However, I'm saying, if the leadership that is there had no beneficiation on that extracting of informal settlement, it would have never happened.
Yeah. But the thing is, it has happened. It is there. We can't wish it away. It's a reality.
Yes.
My question now is, how imminent is the resettlement program? Do you know?
I wouldn't know because I am no longer part of the ward committee, and the ward committee is the highest structure in the ward with portfolios of people who are dealing with that.
Yeah.
I am no longer with that now. I'm only based on the committee organization, which seeks to have to assist there and there.
There was a piece in the local newspaper today that it seemed to indicate that the first step has been already taken, that the papers have been served. And although no court date has been set, the municipality is expecting the matter to be heard in September, October, confident the court will grant an eviction order. And once the court has granted an eviction order, presumably it goes from there straight to the Red Ants and et cetera, et cetera. So by the end of the year, we could have either a peaceful resettlement or a major convocation of disgruntled, affected, angry, and desperate people, which is what I fear. And I note that the ward councillor, Jack Abrams, in this report from the Courier, says that he believes that the Sharker's Head illegal occupiers also intend to object to their removal, which is, I'm not quite sure whether that is a joke, but I mean, that's what he apparently said, which is ridiculous. You know, I mean, of course they're going to object. Wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. I mean, what we need to know is this process going to benefit the greater community, which you represent, and I believe
as long as people would be relocated and offered alternative settlement with the multi-party intervention, including the KDM and whoever that is responsible to do that. But what is needed, inshallah, that as a matter of urgent It's a primary school and a high school for the children.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that entirely. And I think that's where we kind of need to leave it for now, because time is against us. But thank you so much for joining us, Thulani. I really appreciate your input.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All the best to you.
You know, I just wanted to quickly touch on this relocation. The particular piece of land that they are talking about, which was purchased by KDM a number of years ago, has actually got no basic services on it. It was actually even documented on an RDP report that there's no water, there are no services on this piece of land, and it's a long way for the people to commute into Ballito. And from what I have heard...
You're talking about the land that has been proposed as an alternative. Yeah. So there are no services.
No services
at all. The sites aren't even graded.
Yeah. And there was even a possible... a couple of years ago, when I did an investigation to this piece of land and I got an auditor there, they actually said there was a piece... there was a land claim on that particular land that was actually proposed.
That was a farm that belonged to Angus Bell, I think, originally.
Yeah, I think Flux
was
Prate,
the Bell Farm. I think so. Yeah. They sold that to the municipality for 50 million rand.
Yes.
When it was under land claim, etc. That was quite a curious
There were no services on that land, and apparently there was a land claim on that land. So for human settlements to obviously develop a piece of land, if there's a land claim, then you're going to be tied in the court for ages. It's nonsensical with that.
Is there not a moratorium on land claims? I heard it that was all over by the shouting now.
Yeah.
The due date has passed.
Well, you know what? At the moment, the current challenge in KDM is that the backlog of houses is almost sitting at 68,000 homes that are still waiting. You know, there's a lot of beneficiaries waiting for their homes. And, you know, this is a big problem at the moment. It's a valid issue. And obviously, we're going to see how it's going to be unfolding.
Coming back to the final. This is right on the doorstep of Caledon Estate, right over the road from the Mkhlali Country Club. There are four or five estates in that area.
We calculated.
Are there eight?
Yeah.
And you cannot wish this thing away.
No.
It is there.
And
unless there is a some incredibly strong leadership and statesmanship and goodwill and organization, none of which, by the way, I see yet. I mean, here we go. The ward councillor won't even come on air because he's afraid to speak. Now, if that's starting the ball rolling, then heaven help us.
Yeah.
But unless that kind of approach is taken, there is going to be a conflagration of... how many thousand people living there?
There's
now?
A lot.
About 15,000.
Yeah, easily. But
now,
if
you take the whole population of the greater Ballito area, apparently there are 30,000 homes. There are 15,000 people living around the corner that are going to be dispossessed.
Yeah,
it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, the 15,000 people in Sharker's Head, we're talking Ward 4, there's about 15,000. And then obviously there's people who don't have any homes. They've been shack dwellers in Ward 4 and they have to obviously move out. I just want to say the daunting process. And it's an issue. This matter cannot, you have to face the consequences. The political leadership, I have to say, is flawed, because in 2021, I actually raised my concerns with Kwadukuza Municipality. I actually wrote an email to the Executive Director of Human Settlements, Musi Sithole. He said to me that I was exaggerating, so I agreed to meet him at that particular road. You know, there were people that were clearing out the land. There were pigs going up, and you could see people were starting to move in and invade the land. And he said to me at that stage, we met there. I showed him where this was, and he said that they were going to do something about it. They're going to get the land invasion unit to come and sort this out, because obviously, we've got these hamstrung laws at the moment. And once the process, there's a legal concept called counter spoliation. So if you're a property owner and someone claims your land unlawfully, you've got 48 hours basically to get make sure that they're off your land. If that process, which is it's daunting, if you don't take that process and they prove now that they have actually taken possession of your land, you cannot evict them unless you get a court order,
which is why they're
going
to court.
Time it in years and years of litigation.
No, they're going to court now by the end of November. They say they will have been to court and it'll all be over by the starting. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we are talking about, and that's what you, dear listener, are going to be following in the next exciting maybe not the next episode, but certainly in forthcoming episodes of Uncensored with Penny for Weed. But that's all we've got time for today. One final point.
Yeah. And I think what the reality is that these structures are up. The damage is done. So now we're going to have to see how this whole tsunami, it's going to be unraveling, and whether these people are going to be relocated to another place or are they going to be incorporated into this area as they have had to do in Sheffield, or under a court order as well.
Well, watch this space and watch the podcast that goes up shortly, because if you just join us and you're not quite sure what we've been ranting on about. Well, very interesting conversation with Penny Faree about the settlement opposite Umkhali Country Club behind Caledon Estate, that entire area. We know where they sell the little statues and they do upholstery and build things and they make things and they live happily ever after, we think. It's not quite as happy, and it's certainly going to be an ongoing saga when the municipality sets about the relocation efforts, if such an effort comes about. But you can catch up on the podcast that will be on your app or on our website, Life and Style Radio, Life and Style .co.za. Penny will be back in a week's time for more exciting info from the world of Greater Ballito on the North Coast and beyond.
Bye, everyone.